Welcome to installment 128 of Sefer Mitzvahs from the Rambam. Today's portion contains two prohibitions relating to the law of Truma, or the part of one's harvest which is separated to give to the Kohen. Prohibition 133 is that a person who is not a Kohen is forbidden from eating such portions. And prohibition number 134 is that someone that is a hired worker of a Kohen, a Teshev Kohen, he also is prohibited from consuming these portions. As we have explained previously, anyone's crops, before they can be eaten, must separate certain gifts to be given to the Kohen and the Levi, and in some years for himself to be eaten in Jerusalem, and some years to be given to poor people to eat. One must first separate Truma, the elevated offering which must be given to the priest. Approximately 1/50th or 2% of the harvest must be given to the Kohen to be eaten by him in purity. Only the Kohen is allowed to eat this, however, and members of his immediate household. Any non-Kohen is prohibited from eating this Truma. This is Prohibition 133, that a Zor, a non-Kohen, may not eat Truma. As the Rambam quotes from the book of Leviticus, chapter 22, verse 10, V'chol Zor lo yeichal kodesh, that any non-Kohen may not eat Kodesh, which is literally holy, a holy offering. Which the Rambam explains that Kodesh is referring to Truma, this elevated offering. In addition, the Rambam explains in Sefer HaMitzvahs that so too Bikurim, the first fruits, is also called Truma, and therefore comes under the same prohibition. So too the Rambam says that anyone who is male Bekodshim, intentionally, an intentional misuse of sanctified property to be used for the Beis HaMikdash, also comes under the same prohibition and the same punishment, as the Rambam rules that someone that eats Truma, that is not qualified to, who eats it intentionally, is given a heavenly death sentence, Misi B'dei Shamayim. Someone that eats it unintentionally has also transgressed the prohibition, even though it's unintentional. And the Torah rules that in that case, he must not only repay the Truma, he must add another fifth to it. However, in this case, since one is already being punished by a heavenly death sentence, he does not have to pay this additional fifth. The Rambam quotes the tractate Truma, that the penalty is death, and an additional, the ninth chapter of Sanhedrin, that among those that are given the heavenly death penalty, a non-Kohen eating Truma is counted among them. And the proof there is brought from the previous verse, Umeisu vei ki yechalalu, that because they have profaned it, they will die. And this, as the Rambam is referring to Truma. The Rambam then quotes from the tractate Bikurim, where it is said that Truma and Bikurim are punishable by death, Misa B'dei Shamayim. However, Rav disagrees with this Mishnah and says that the punishment is lashes and the punishment is not death. And the Rambam tells us an interesting historical and halachic fact that Rav, even though he was from the generation of the Amoraim, from the generation of the Talmud, from the Gemara, not from the time of the Mishnah, and it is normally impossible that someone from the times of the Gemara should disagree with someone from the times of the Mishnah. Nevertheless, Rav, being from the earliest generation of Amoraim, Tano hu upolik, he is considered equivalent to the Tanoim, to the sages of the Mishnah, and therefore is capable of disagreeing with them. However, the Rambam here refers to his commentary on the Mishnah, where he says that today, if a law is not of practical use, that there is no reason, if there is not a practical difference between these two opinions, there is no reason to decide the law. For example, in this case, the Chachamim, the sages who say that the punishment is death, would agree with Rav that one would get lashes. Therefore, the Rambam says he does not have to decide here whether the punishment is lashes or the punishment is death, because everyone agrees that one is punished by lashes. And so too, in the misuse of sanctified objects, if one misuses them, as long as one is of a sufficient age where one understands what one is doing, in that case also one is punished by lashes. As the Rambam quotes, that Rav Yechon and Rav Shimon ben Lakish all say that one is punished by lashes for this prohibition. In his legal code, however, Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam decides all laws, including those which will be relevant in the days of Mashiach, in the days of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rambam decides there, like the Chachamim, that the penalty for eating truma intentionally for a Eman Kohen is punishable by death, Misa Bidei Shamayim. Prohibition 134 also relates to a category of people who cannot eat truma. These are quasi-members of the Kohen's house. As we mentioned, the Kohen's wife and children can also eat from the truma. Even his animals can eat from the truma. In addition, the verse states that his servants may eat from the truma, that they are all considered part of his possessions. Even though they're human beings, nevertheless, either they're considered part of his family and therefore part of himself, or part of his objects, like the servant who is completely bought and therefore belongs to the Kohen. Therefore, he can also be fed truma. However, a Jew, even though he has become a servant and is working for another Jew, for a Kohen, nevertheless, he may not eat truma. This is Prohibition 134. As the Rambam quotes from the book of Leviticus, from the same chapter, chapter 22, verse 10, Teishav Kain besacher le yechal kedesh. Teishav Kain is literally one who resides with the Kohen, who lives with the Kohen. This, the Rambam explains in his legal code, is referring to a Jew who has been hired as an eternal worker to always work for this Kohen. Who then is the Sacher, the hired worker? This is somebody who is only temporarily hired. Both of them are strictly forbidden to eat truma, that even though they temporarily became part of the Kohen's house, or in the case of the Teishev, became permanently part of the Kohen's house, nevertheless, they are still considered individuals separate from the Kohen, and therefore are forbidden from eating the truma. As we mentioned, possessions of the Kohen, such as animals, are allowed to eat truma. In this regard, the Medrash tells an interesting story, that once there was a Kohen who fed his animals truma, and shortly afterwards a fire broke out in his house and destroyed many of his possessions, 30 animals, 60 garments, 24 jugs of wine, and 10 jugs of oil. The Kohen came before the sages and described to them exactly what happened, and asked them, "Why did the Almighty do this to me?" As the sages were pondering why it was that Hashem had punished the man in this way, another man entered the room of the sages with a legal question, and asked them, "Is one allowed to feed truma to animals?" So without waiting for the sages to answer, this Kohen who had endured the fire answered that certainly it's allowed. The man said, "Is this the law?" And the Kohen says, "Of course it's the law. I'm sure. I just fed my animals truma." When the sages heard this, they shouted out, "Blessed be Hashem, that all of his judgments are righteous. That since you shouldn't have given this truma to the animals, therefore you were punished by having your possessions burned." But the Kohen asked, "I learned that truma may be given to one's animals." However, the sages answered that this does not apply to all sorts of food. Food which is fit for humans must be eaten by humans. The only truma which can be given to animals is types of truma which is no longer good for humans, which is fit only for animal feed. Thank you for tuning into the daily portion of Sefer HaMitzvahs, a project of Sichas in English. For more information or to sponsor a shiur, contact us at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us again tomorrow.